Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today we have Zach Lyons as a guest. Zach is my brother in Christ, and he is a very good friend of mine. Hello, Zach. How are you?
Hey, man. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Zach, and for spending time with me today. Yeah. So, Zach, would you introduce yourself?
Yeah. So, I'm a child of God, and I'm a husband and a father of one, and expecting one on the way very soon. And I'm a lay pastor at a local church, Imago Dei Church, here in Raleigh, Durham, and then I work with you at the Baptist State Convention, helping churches to engage in God's mission here in North Carolina, throughout North America, and around the world.
Mm, yeah, that's great. Zach, it's been a great honor and privilege to work with you for God's kingdom. And you're much younger than me, but you're so mature. I definitely respect your dedication and love for the Lord and love for reaching the lost people with the gospel of Christ. So I'm so excited. I know you, but I'm very excited for more people would get to know you and for them to think about how we can all work together for God's kingdom. You already mentioned about your family, but I'm very excited about this question. How did you come to Christ?
Yeah, so I was born in a Christian home. My dad actually was at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis when I was born. And he took a pastorate in northern rural Mississippi in a little tiny town, little tiny church, one of those churches that, or one of those towns that if you're driving and you blink, you're going to miss it, that kind of small. And but my parents, I mean, they prayed for me from the moment that they knew that I was coming, asking God to work in my life and to save me. They, from the moment that I came out, they began to pray the gospel over me and to speak the gospel to me. In spite of that, in spite of the way that they spoke the gospel and lived the gospel in front of me and showed me Christ, I totally misunderstood what Christianity was. I thought that to be a Christian was about moralistic behaviorism, about doing the right things and pleasing. I was really bent on chasing the approval of the people around me and on trying to please everyone around me. And I thought, and I projected that thought onto God. So I'm trying to please God with my actions and trying to do everything I can to be able to make myself right with Him. But internally, I was just broken up and guilty and never felt as though I was at peace with God. Till I was about 8 years old, and my great uncle, who was like a grandfather to me, he passed away. And it was the first time in my life that I was up close and personal with death. And it actually sparked in me a question that was actually a very pragmatic question for me, of just this question of, is what I'm doing right now, is it going to work? Really, is it going to please God? Is it going to get me at peace with God? Because I understood from my parents and that God is holy and that I was sinful, but I still thought I could earn His love. And so that practical question, that very pragmatic question, led me to a whole host of other questions and really starting to consider who Jesus was Himself and what He had done and the life He had lived on my behalf and then the death that He had died. And Jesus just began to come alive to me in my understanding. And so over the course of those months, began to consider that. And then after a couple of months, just gave my life to Jesus, called out to Him, asked Him to take me, He filled me with His Spirit, and I started walking with Him from that point on. It was actually less than a year after I became a follower of Jesus that my parents became missionaries, and we moved to the other side of the world to engage in the mission of God. So,
wow, that's great. So, how did God call you to ministry?
Wow, there's a lot of things there. I think first, when I was a kid, He called me to Christ, and so in calling me to Christ, He called me to an understanding that my life was not my own, but belonged to Him. So I think there was an elementary understanding of that early on. When we got to the field and my parents took us there, I'm the oldest of six, and so I was the first kid in my family to choose to follow Jesus. So being only a year old in the faith, arriving on the mission field, my parents learning language and then engaging in ministry, going into villages that had never heard of Jesus and sharing the gospel, I really just kind of grew up with the book of Acts being lived out in front of me. That was the life that we were living in. So it was almost as though the life of a missionary became the normal Christian life for me, in my understanding. I never had a time whenever I saw the New Testament as something that was old and antiquated, but that was very present and alive, and we were experiencing the same things that we were seeing in the text. And so, God started seven churches in 3.5 years among the first people that we worked with. And, we just got to see amazing things. I learned how, my dad taught me how, when I was 11 years old, I was learning how to share my testimony in front of groups of people who were all trying to wrestle with whether or not they were going to follow Jesus. And so I think it was mentored into me from a very young age from my parents, just discipling me in these things. We came back on stateside assignment after the Civil War broke out in Ivory Coast, where we're living. And that was a really challenging, difficult time. And then when we got back to the field, we moved to a different location in Burkina Faso. And it was during that time, in those teen years, that the Lord really began to work on my heart and sort of establish a little more of His purposes for me. I was reading through Matthew at the time and had seen Matthew 28, had heard it preached, had heard it many, many times. I'm the son of a missionary, so I'd heard it for sure. But for some reason, when I read it that time, there was just something different about my reading of it that I realized, oh, this is something I'm a part of. This is something You're asking of me. I have some level of responsibility in this to engage with You in what You're doing to make disciples of all nations. It was shortly after that that the Lord kind of confirmed that. My best friend, his name was Abdul, and he chose to follow Jesus. He was a Muslim, first Muslim I ever got the chance to lead to faith. And he chose to follow Jesus and came to stay with us for a little while, and then stayed with a pastor friend in the city, and when his family disowned him. And just several other different things that happened in those years that just confirmed the desire in my heart to engage in the mission of God. And so I would say the calling has been both in terms of Him calling me to Himself and to a life with Him, but then also to engage alongside of Him in His work. And that's taken a lot of different forms, from missionary work to just ordinary disciple making to pastoring, across the board. So
great. Now, who is the biggest influence in your life?
Probably my dad. Even you can hear that in some of the story already. But my dad took me under his wing, and there's almost all of the missional and pastoral instincts that I have were built into me by the work that he did when I was coming up. And I still remember, we had just come back from stateside assignment, and we were in the new post in Burkina Faso, and we decided as a family that we felt like God was calling us to work among a new people group. And when we moved to work among that new people group, we moved 2 hours south and away from any other Anglos in that region, anyone else that was like us, and away from the churches, even the national believers that were there. There were not many national believers where we were in the city where we were living. And so I remember I was 15, 16 years old, and I just went to Dad and I said, Dad, there's no one to disciple me here. Will you disciple me? And so we, Dad and I, started meeting together on a weekly basis for the purpose of walking through the Word together. And there's a lot of things that he built into me during those years, those last years in high school, that that are still present today. So,
Well, Zach, when I first saw you, and I still feel the same way, I sense that your just dedication, your love and desire for God's Word. So everywhere I see you, you're always carrying your Bible, and that's great. So if I ask this question, you may say this way, like, hey, do you have a life verse? And you may say Bible, the whole Bible. But if you pick out one particular passage or verse, what would that be?
Wow, yeah, that is a really difficult question because there's so many that have had just profound impact in my life, and that I see having profound impact in the lives of others. One that has come back on multiple occasions that has just proven to be just a wonderful sense of comfort and encouragement to me. And it's interesting because my local church, we actually just preached this passage not too long ago. But it's one that I've gone back to again and again multiple times throughout my life. Is this the last part, the last three verses of Habakkuk? And it goes like this. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And I think that this passage, the whole book of Habakkuk, but especially this last, these last three verses, I've not experienced the kind of suffering that many of our brothers and sisters have experienced around the world, and the persecution that they've experienced. Even Abdul, my friend, when he came to faith, I've not experienced that kind of persecution of my family disowning me. But Jesus actually promises his disciples that they're not to expect prosperity, but actually to expect suffering and difficulty and trial. And so we face that, we experience that in every aspect of our life, and because we live in the broken world that we're in. And so in the midst of the though that's in this passage, there's this, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, take joy in the God of my salvation, regardless of the circumstances that we are in, that we take joy and we rejoice in God himself. God himself is our joy. He himself is our strength. He himself makes our feet like the deer's and makes us a tread on high places in the midst of difficulty. So I think when I look back and I think of the trials and the tribulations, the difficulties, the sufferings that we've experienced, that I've experienced in my life, and then look forward even to what I expect is going to happen, and then in the midst of it right now, God has been faithful, and he is faithful, and he will be faithful, and he himself is where we find our source and our joy and our strength. And so I think that has been really profound in my life at multiple times, multiple points. So
amen. Wow, that's great. Zach, most audiences who are listening to this podcast are Asian Americans or second generation, immigrant descendants who are living in the United States, who are in other parts of the world. I've met a few MKs, the missionary kids, and they said they shared about their experiences, and I found some similarities between missionary kids and second gen or third generation Asian Americans mm-hmm. living in a different country.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept hearing the word third culture mm-hmm. people. So I want to ask you, how was your experience like growing up as a missionary kid? And could you define what third culture is?
Mm-hmm.
And could you tell us about any similarities mm-hmm. that you observed among second gen Asian Americans and your own experience?
I think I'll actually start by just saying that, you know, when you first share with me the four categories that you think about whenever you think of second generation of the monoethnic and then the multi-ethnic, the acultural and mm-hmm. then the multicultural, the traditional cultural, and the host cultural,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
those four categories. And then when you first shared that with us and talked about how the goal, you might think that the goal is to become multicultural or to identify people that are multicultural
mm-hmm.
And or help people to become that way. You're right, that is the way that you initially think, oh, we should try to help people become multicultural so they can mm-hmm. exist in
mm-hmm.
from their home context or their host context, they're able to exist in all these different places. And then you said, but that's actually not what we need to be trying to do. Instead, we need to be trying to root people's identity in Christ mm-hmm. more firmly.
Mm-hmm.
And after we root them, their identity in Christ more firmly, then that what produces from that, what comes from that, is purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If their identity is rooted rightly in Christ, then that produces proper purpose. And mm-hmm. so when you introduced that to, when I was sitting in that large group of people and you were sharing that presentation, that was, so my undergrad, I had an intercultural studies degree
mm-hmm.
through my undergrad. And in all of my intercultural studies, I don't think I had the words enough to be able to describe what you said then
mm-hmm.
and how much it aligned with what actually took place in mm-hmm. my own life.
Wow.
And so that was an incredible gift, I think, mm-hmm. that you gave to me to be able to even understand how to articulate what I had experienced mm-hmm. myself. Because here's what happened to me. I left my home culture in the U.S., and went with my parents to a host culture in West Africa, actually multiple host cultures in West Africa. And so the longer that I was in that host context, the less I was like my home, my original home. But the more I was like the host, but I was never fully the host context either. So I was always sort of in this middle ground. I learned the language fairly quickly. You know, I got out there, played soccer with friends, and, you know, as a little teeny bopper, just learned, you know, learned the culture fairly quickly, learned language. And so I was able to exist in both worlds because I had language and I had cultural understanding. But I always felt as though I never really belonged. And so when we came back to stateside assignment, that's whenever that really became
mm-hmm.
apparent to me, when we came back to the U.S. and we were here and we lived in three different locations over the course of a year. And in each location, it was just this reaffirmation of, you don't belong here, you're not fully American.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, also remembering and realizing, I don't fully belong there mm-hmm. in Africa either. And really wrestled during those, that was 13, 14 years old, really mm-hmm. wrestled during that season of, wow, well, what am I?
Mm-hmm.
And it was after that, it was right around the same time I was just talking about with when I went through Matthew. I went through Matthew, Jeremiah, and Colossians in this probably 5-month season, 6-month season right after we moved down from the capital city there in Burkina Faso. So we're isolated, so I'm having more time just between me and God. It was during that season that he used several passages, one chapter in Jeremiah in particular, several passages, verses in Colossians, and several passages in Matthew, that he just kind of, I wasn't seeking this. I didn't go out asking the Lord, where's my identity? Mm-hmm. But he just sort of backed me into, through those passages of scripture, an understanding of who I was in Christ, and especially identifying and understanding who I was as a citizen of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so I had been really wrestling with, in my Christian walk, well, should I be leaning out of the world, trying to not become as much like this world, whether it's the host culture or the home culture? Should I try to like not be like them, try to lean out of the world and in my effort to try to pursue holiness and those kind of things? Or should I lean into the world, try to become as much like these people for missional purposes? And I've been really like wishy-washy on that, mm-hmm. trying to understand how to exist in that. And I didn't feel like I had any solid footing until he backed me into that understanding of who I am in Christ, in particular, my citizenship in a kingdom that is here but not yet. And then in particular, the need for me to, rather than leaning into the world or out of the world, to instead lean into the coming kingdom and to live according to the rules of his kingdom in this world. Living according to the holiness, the reality of who we will become in glorification as we are being sanctified. Living according to the reality of when he constitutes, when he fully establishes and consummates his kingdom, that it's going to be filled with a multitude of people from every tribe, tongue, and people and language. And so those things began to be drivers for me as my identity became deeper and more rooted into Christ. And that was when that was right around the time that I read Matthew 28, and that's when Great Commission, this is why this is a part of who I am. It's a part of what I am to do. It's the reason I'm still here, and he didn't save me and take me to be with him. This is the reason for my existence right now. So that was a big shift for me. I was fortunate, actually, in the sense that that throughout the entirety of my third culture experiences and the challenges that I experienced in the midst of that, I was a believer. I became a believer before we moved into a host context from my home context. And so I can see all throughout those early years how the Lord was shaping and molding me and protecting me and guiding me into that understanding that I had that click moment that he kind of backed me into in high school. I still feel some of the same challenges of not feeling as though I identify fully in America, even though I'm here in North Carolina. And then when I'm spending time with my West African brothers and sisters, I don't feel as though I belong with them, but at the same time, I do feel as though I belong in both. I put a lot less weight on those things. I don't feel as, intimidated to, or as pressured to become like either one. I feel more freedom to just kind of be me and to know the particularities of my own culture and recognize that I was, when the gospel was sown in me, it has grown up and taken particular forms in my life, and that's an okay thing. And even though that doesn't fully make sense in a North American context, and that doesn't fully make sense in a West African context, that's an okay thing. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing, brother. In the next episode, I want to know more about what you do now at the State Convention. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.